ଆମର ସେଇଟା ବାପଲିମାଲି ଅଛି।
ବାପଲିମାଲି ଇଜ୍ ଏ ଭେରି ଭେନେରେଟେଡ୍ ହିଲ୍ ବିକଜ୍ ଇଟ୍ ଇଜ୍ ଏ ପ୍ଲେସ୍ ଅଫ୍ ୱର୍ସିପ୍ ଫର୍ ମେନି ଅଫ୍ ଅସ୍ ଆୱର୍ ଟ୍ରାଇବଲ୍ସ ଆଣ୍ଡ ଅଲ୍ ପିପୁଲ୍। ସୋ ୱି ପ୍ରୋଟେକ୍ଟ ଇଟ୍, ୱି ରେସ୍ପେକ୍ଟ।
କମିଟି ତ ମାନେ
way back in the past our ancestors, our forefathers, they got this hill from the clutches of the foreign colonials when the colonial powers were at work in our area, and our fathers, they fought for that hill and they got the hill. So due to responsibility that we should keep it up, we don't want that this whole hill should go to the hands of others.
Baptimali Mountain, located in the remote Kashipur region of the East Indian province of Orissa, is a sacred site for many of the local Adivasi, or indigenous, and caste, or Dalit communities. It is also the site of one of the world's largest bauxite reserves. In 1993, a consortium of corporations known together as the Utkal Alumina International Limited, or UAIL, was formed to extract the bauxite and produce alumina. Canadian alumina giant Alcan Inc. has been an active partner in the UAIL venture since 1999 and now has a 45% holding. The UAIL project has faced resistance in Kashipur since its inception. The Adivasi and Dalit communities opposed to the project maintain that over 13 years of repression against anti-mine organizers has created a climate of terror across the region. They accuse the company of working closely with the government, police, and paramilitaries to move the project forward at any cost, using tactics which range from bribery to repression to police brutality to dividing communities. In December 2000, three anti-mine protesters were shot by police in the village of Maikanch, and project plans were put temporarily on hold. Since late 2004, when communities protested a new stage in the development of the project, a wave of tensions has gripped the region. We visited the region in 2005 to find out how the UAIL project was affecting the lives of people throughout Kashipur. In this third part of a three-part documentary, we look at why communities we visited are refusing to accept a compensation package from the company, what the consequences of repression are, and the reasons behind the government's push for the project.
Once we have lost our land, we lost everything.
Let the police personnel or the government they kill us. We are ready to die here itself, but we don't want the company, nor we have to leave this.
Entire area was confined as this paramilitary and Indian Reserve Battalion and State Armed Police.
There is this police raj going on in that area, corporation raj, police directed by the company. In Iraq, it is oil which attracted the attention of American leaders. Here it is bauxite which attracts the attention of these leaders of Orissa. So they belong to one, they are in the same camp. And what they did in Iraq is being done in Kashipur at a very small level.
During our visit to Kashipur, all local company and government representatives refused to speak with us. But we met with lawyers, non-governmental organizations, parliamentarians, solidarity activists, and villagers who stood to lose their lands and livelihoods. According to UAIL, a total of 24 villages will be affected by the bauxite mine and alumina smelter. Yet according to the local people's movement, many more will lose lands they have cultivated for centuries or suffer the downstream effects of industrial activities in an arid and fragile ecosystem. The village of Barigon has been told that it may be submerged to make a hydroelectric dam to fuel the alumina smelter. Even if the dam is not built, villagers fear that their water supply and fields will be affected by downstream pollution from the nearby mine and smelter. They spoke to us about the importance of remaining on their land and why they would refuse to accept monetary compensation or displacement to a resettlement site.
Company jodi hei jibo pani nashto hei jibo pobon nashto hei jibo au
amar deho
bi nashto
hei jibo. We are warm of this soil and without land there is no existence, and
If the company is coming, then our water, our air, all things will be polluted. And everywhere the scarcity of land is. And where do I get the land? The land is not giving birth to another land. But the population is going on. Land is not spreading. So the land is very much stipulated. So once we have lost our land, we lost everything. Where do we go for another land by taking some paper money? Who will give us land? If the company wants to launch its project, then first the company kill us, then over our corpses the factory should be grown. The paper money, it is not actually a forceful thing for our life. We tribal people, we are actually living in barter system. What we actually cultivate and we exchange it and we get the things. In our life there is no place of money. So when the company is giving some paper money, what can we do? There is no dialogue between the people and the company and the government itself. Everything is going in a secret manner. What the compensation given by the company, what the compensation given by the government, state government, it is not known to the people. And the people of this locality, they do not want compensation. So how can the dialogue is possible? We do not want compensation. We do not want any paper money. We do not want ourselves to be displaced. So there is no dialogue between the government and other authorities of company.
The village of Maikanch sits below Baptimali Mountain, where Alcan and its corporate partners plan to extract the bauxite. Arjun Joria spoke to us about why villagers in Maikanch are refusing compensation.
Actually, these company people, they are promising to provide the job security and other things, but we don't have any qualification. We are just all the people here under matriculators. So the good job we cannot be given by the company. Only some people, they will be employed, means only some gardener or the peon or like this. But with the people, those who are remaining since long and cultivating our lands, so we are just depending upon the agriculture. So if we lose all these things, then we may face many problems. They may give some money, but it will be useless for us if the company will start. Neither we will be benefited in our service, job security will not be there, and our home security will not be there, and land security will not be there. Everything we will lose.
The multinational corporations, they do economic analysis of the developmental projects. And while doing the economic analysis of the developmental projects, they considered about the land compensation, but they do not consider about compensation to be paid on the natural resources. Because if a fruit-bearing tree is there in an Adivasi's land, and it would have paid more than 10,000 rupees to him in a year, and during the next 20 years, it will certainly pay more than 2 lakhs of rupees. But while providing the compensation in the land, they do not really take into account the aspect of environmental accounting. And that really creates a kind of a burden on the people, those who are alienating their land for the companies. The companies, they do their business and they go away from the place. And ultimately, it is the Adivasis, those who suffer.
Bipu Prasad Tripathi is a lawyer based in Orissa who has seen many compensation packages through his work with Adivasi communities facing resource extraction projects.
For 1 ton of mahua, that's a kind of a flower in an Adivasi area, out of which the liquor is also made. For 1 ton of mahua, one Adivasi gets 10,000 rupees. But for 1 ton of bauxite, the government gets a meager royalty of 172 rupees. Today, a situation has come for the state government where the government is captive to the mining industries. They are thinking in terms of their benefit, not the state benefit. It is the benefit of the individual politicians. It's the benefit of the individual ministers. It is the benefit of the individual government functionaries and not the benefit of the state exchequer.
What benefits are you talking about precisely?
Benefits in terms of money. The money has been siphoned off completely. And that is the reason they are hell-bent on going ahead with the project when they are talking about the employment to the people. But ultimately, it will make the people more and more unemployed and they will get into starvation in next couple of years.
What happens when Adivasi and Dalit communities, which form some of the most marginalized segments of Indian society, resist a project proposed by more powerful governments and multinational corporations? For many villages in Kashipur, 13 years of resistance has come with repression, police brutality, militarization, and many questionable arrests. Badal Ta is director of a local NGO named Ankuran.
I just give you an image. The house is owned by you. And in front of the house, there is government land. But one fine morning, you see there is a person who comes with a theodolite with all instruments and starts measuring the road or the government land in front of you. As if your boundary is this, you cannot move beyond. But the person from 1,000 kilometers far away, he can come and start measuring government land, your own private land, not asking anybody anything. And if you start asking something, then this militarization starts. So it has started from the beginning. This militarization process, the police and the force, it has started from the beginning. So from 1992 it has started.
This is Bariga, and the people of Bariga actually agitated against UAIL.
From 1st
December to 16th December, state repression was going on like anything. On 9th December, Bulka Miniyaka, who is the president of Prakritik Sampada Surakhya Parishad, a local organization, people's organization, who is fighting against UAIL, and fighting for their basic necessities. So Bulka Miniyaka, as government is knowing that Bulka Miniyaka is the president of this organization, so the government first coming to this village with 2 platoon of police. While returning from river, they captured Bulka Miniyaka, a 70-aged old man, and while his wife and so many mothers of this village, they opposed, "Why you are taking Bulka? Why you are taking our old brother?" Immediately police lathi charge to the people, and more than 5 people actually injured here in the riverside. And then immediately all people are fled away and they taking Bulka Miniyaka from this house. After that, so many cases actually lodged against him, and they threatened the people, "If you are going against the company, if you are doing anything against the company, then we will held off you in the name of terrorists. We can actually repress you in the terrorist activities, because this is what a development coming to your area, and you are actually against the development. So you are anti-national. So we are repress you. If at all you are actually against this company." This is what the version of the government also.
যার পাই সে দাঁই ফলে আসলে ডিসেম্বর হ্যাঁ 9 তারিখে নেই সারিলে
When do you expect that Bulka will be able to come back?
Thing is actually worsened day by day, because Odisha is now going to corporate democracy. The pressure of the company is very heavy on Odisha government. So we cannot say when actually Bulka is coming.
Nothing have been changed after British police. Indian police and British police has no change. So Indian police is using the same laws as the Britishers were doing. All of our activists are in now still after 3 months nearly. They are still in jail. And several people have the warrants like me. 4 people have the permanent warrant of national security work because we are threat to the national security. So that much a threat we are for this company and state, and in that way they want to treat us.
Devaranjan Sarangi is a solidarity activist based in the village of Kichapur. After visiting political prisoners in the local jail, where we were not permitted to record, take notes, or take pictures, we spoke with Naveen Chinchani, a lawyer for 3 anti-mine villagers imprisoned on charges of dacoity, or theft, with accusations which range from reportedly destroying seats on the roof of a house to stealing chickens. How many people in total have been arrested?
They arrested only 13 people they have arrested now, but they have implicated 70 and other accused persons.
So there are non-bailable warrants out for 70 people?
Total 70 persons, the non-bailable warrant is there.
What crime exactly have they committed?
What they have alleged, the police in the FIR, they have given a list of who has done what thing and who has taken what thing, like that. So Jolamani Naik, they have broken the seat, the roof seat, and they have taken two chickens.
Two chickens. So these people have been charged with taking 2 chickens.
Yeah.
Do people get non-bailable warrants for stealing 2 chickens normally in India?
Not like that, but the police have been implicated like that. That is why it is a false case they have implicated, what I am saying.
Would you say that these arrests have a political motivation?
Naturally, what we feel, that is one kind of harassment to the people because they are opposing something. That is why government has taken that type of steps to subdue the people.
Why do you think the Orissa government and the local administration have been putting so much pressure on the communities for this project to go through? Why do they want this project so much?
It has 2 reasons. One is at the surface, and one is another behind the scene. And my point is behind the scene reason, behind the scene is more important than the surface reason. Surface reason is for their development. If I quote Naveen Patnaik, Chief Minister's words, he has said once before the media that no one, I repeat, no one will be allowed to stand in the way of Orissa's industrialization and the people's progress. That means they have targeted us. We are blocking the people's progress. We are opposing Orissa's industrialization. Orissa's industrialization depends on the entry of these multinational companies, only by these multinational companies. And we think it is not the people's progress, rather it is a plunder of resources. Because UIL specifically, for example, has mentioned in his project report that per year they would produce 1 million tons of alumina, and it may be extended up to 3 million tons of alumina. And if we see 3 million tons of alumina needs nearly 9 million tons of bauxite. And Baphlamali, which will be mined, has 195 million tons of bauxite. That means per year if UIL starts extracting 9 million tons, then it, after 23 years nearly, finished off. Entire bauxite will be finished off and they will go away. But the entire bauxite gives is a resources for the Kasipur people. Because of bauxite, people are getting water. Because within only in the bauxite area, one can get perennial streams. And streams are life of these tribals. They get water, they could cultivate. And so it's a straight plunder of resources and pauperization of more people, displacement of more people, hazardous environment degradation problem, and worst effect of market, which is very bad people will face in future if the UIL succeeds. So it is not the people's progress. It is rather, I can say, really bring the people backward in more dangerous situation will bring. But the ruling class, they have a different reason also. Though they are speaking people's progress,
they are getting a lot of money from these companies. If I could give, for example, in 2002, UIL said they have spent 60 crores. And by 2002, there was no physical construction in the areas. Not at the mining site, not at the plant site. Not even they have a dig well, or not they have set any brick. No construction absolutely. But they had spent 60 crores. And what way they had spent then? Because it is not the public sector, because it is the private sector, everything goes on secretly. So these politicians, bureaucrats, including the lowest level of police, they are making much, much money out of it. And they are using their forces, whatever they have, against the people.
This was the voice of Kashipur community organizer Devaranjan Sarangi. In the town of Raigarh, Kashipur's administrative center, we'd hope to raise issues of corruption, repression, and police brutality with government officials, company representatives, and pro-mine politicians. All refused to speak to us. When we returned to the Orissa provincial capital of Bhubaneswar, we were granted an interview with Sri Biswabasan Harichandan, the Orissa Minister of Law, Industry, and Rural Development.
Can you talk a little bit about the revenue that the state will be receiving for this? What sorts of uses will that be put to? How much revenue are you talking about for this project?
Revenue has been calculated, exact figure I cannot give now, but we are very much concerned about the employment because the standard of living is very low, and there is, so far as the crops are concerned, since it is a hilly land, they would entirely depend on rainfall to produce anything, any sort of crops. So in the matter of crops also, they are poor. Therefore, for eradication of poverty from that region, I think the industry is absolutely necessary. So for economic situation in Orissa is concerned, now so many industries are coming forward to establish their factories in the state. You have huge mineral resources. So mineral-based industries are coming up. Many MOUs have been signed and other MOUs are also in pipeline. So we hope that the entire atmosphere has changed and there is an industrial atmosphere. Some 10 years back, people are not coming forward to have industries. Now we are in a stage of industrial development.
If the government wants the people to develop, the money that they are spending for the police can be spent to build orchards in that area, to build schools in that area, herbal gardens in the area. It's a very healthy area. And people can be happy if these things are done. Some educated young people think that they will get jobs. A company is dangling the carrot before them, that jobs will be available to them and there will be development in the area and they can come, they can have shops. In different ways, they can lead better lives. The educated people also think that this is development. So the enemies of development are the Adivasis or the Dalits, and they should sacrifice. Why should they not? In the name of development, when the country is developing, why should these people prevent the police from entering their villages?
This was the voice of solidarity activist and retired lecturer, Professor Bhagavad Rath. Narayan Reddy is a parliamentarian in the province of Orissa. He was one of several elected officials who were blocked and detained by police while traveling to an anti-mine rally in Kashipur in late 2004. We asked him about his position on the UAL project.
Really, we are not opposing any industry, but our view is the industry which will be stalled there, that must serve the interest of the poor people. We are not also opposing the project, but we are opposing the repression measure of the government, police repression. The government should not take so much of interest to safeguard the interest of a industrialist against poor people. And if any project will come, the state government must have dialogue with the local people. That is their fundamental rights.
The People's Movement is under a lot of pressure right now. Do you feel that the community will be able to stand up to this pressure and coercion?
It's very difficult to say definitely, because the advancement of capitalism after globalization, on one sector the state has become stronger, that is on internal security. Definitely on other sectors like social sectors, they are becoming more and more poor. They are not becoming able to give medicines, educations, shelter to their people, their citizens. But when a country like India, because of the MNCs, multinational companies and capitalist forces, they have developed their internal security. There is appointment is only on the police, military, paramilitary forces, and new groups are coming in India. So in that way, the state has become more powerful. And now to suppress this Kasipur struggle, they are using all their forces. Security forces, police, military, judiciary, administration, minister parties, because all the leading political parties is with the multinational companies, is with the UIL. So it is only the communities, tribal communities. It is a good that they have still continued their fight. And it's very difficult to say what would happen to them. May fire, may kill more people, may send more people to the jail. And by this process, they may succeed and they may not succeed. Definitely, the struggle is going on, and we are depending more on the other communities of other areas, solidarity groups, both India and abroad, to carry this message.
In response to the conflict in Kashipur, solidarity groups have formed in both India and abroad. In Montreal, where Alcan Incorporated is based, a solidarity group called Alcant in India has been active for several years. We asked Devaranjan Sarangi about his thoughts on international solidarity.
Our objective is two things from that international solidarity groups. One is that the group should exert pressure on these companies like Alcan and whoever in future comes. If Alcan withdraws, it would not be an achievement for us, because another company would come, like Billiton, like Rio Tinto. So if Alcan is opposing Alcan, it should not be silent after withdrawal of Alcan. It should continue its support. These all multinational capitalist forces is very bad for the communities. And you start opposing. And within the process, if there is any other struggle in Latin American countries or in Canadian or in any other part of the world, let us have a link with the other struggles. Through this, we can build a big process against the capitalist forces. If you continue this process, one day we'll have a very much strength. It would not only be useful for Kasipur tribals, it would may be useful for other tribal communities who are fighting against the multinational companies or capitalists all over the world. So one hoping that one day we'll be powerful against the state forces.
Montreal-based Alcan Inc. is one company among many who have their sights set on Kashipur's lucrative mineral deposits, and the struggle in Kashipur runs deeper than opposing Alcan. In January 2006, police opened fire on 400 Adivasi villagers who were protesting a steel plant in Kalinganagar, a region close to Kashipur. Over a dozen villagers were killed and several were found mutilated. In the shadow of the Kalinganagar massacre, the communities opposing the mine in Kashipur are well aware of the potential consequences of resistance. After 13 years of struggle and repression in a region where resource extraction activities are backed by powerful multinational corporations, many observers say that the communities opposing the UAIL project are fighting what is increasingly a losing battle. Since we visited Kashipur, reports from the region indicate that the government and the company have stepped up their process of obtaining consent from the community, while reports of police beatings, intimidation, harassment, and arbitrary arrests continue to emerge. The question may not be whether communities consent to the project, but whether their consent is based on a democratic process and free choice. Whatever the outcome, The story of struggle for land, dignity, and self-determination in Kashmir is an inspiration to thousands of tribal and Dalit communities throughout India who continue to fight displacement in what seems to be the face of nearly impossible odds.
You see, if we have a resource which the transnational corporations are eyeing on, and if we are strong enough, and we are strong enough to resist the move, people have given their life, people are still in jail, now they are languishing in jail. Once we are on the resource which the transnational corporations are eyeing on, we have to be very vigilant and resist, and nothing else. We want to live with dignity, so we see that if you interfere, we resist. We understand that in an environment of militarization and in an environment of globalized world, and then when our own government and then the corporations and the local political parties have come together, the fight is not that easy, but we have to fight on.
So we don't want to welcome a company which comes and which kills our people, and when people are slaughtered and killed, murdered, such a company should not come to our area, which do not respect our life and property. We request when you go to your country, please tell them that most of the people here are against this industrial plan, and please bring this to the people that the cries of the people are never heard by the government. Our voice is not reaching to the world community around. So when you go to your country, please try to bring our message and let them know the correct news that people here are in trouble. They are crying for their own land. We had a freedom struggle for 200-300 years, so it's very meaningful for us, for our existence. Should that struggle end up with this kind of say dealings and all that, that is really a problem for us, because we have not yet realized the freedom. India got the freedom, and that freedom we have not yet realized fully. Secondly, now there is another problem, industrial problem, which we face, and we also think that other people are also struggling in other countries like Canada, and maybe European countries also similar struggle goes with the people, and we are also struggling here. So we feel that our area has become an epicenter for industrial international politics. So it has become a center for the whole world, and we also relate ourselves to the people of other world, and we want to relate more with these issues and our problems.
Today we have heard voices from Kashmir, India, where Canadian corporation Alcan is a major holder in a proposed bauxite mine and alumina smelter. This was the third part of a three-part documentary on the anti-mine struggle in Kashmir. The interviews from Kashmir were recorded by Brooke Thorndycraft and Tamara Herman in Orissa, India, in 2005. For more information, or to hear the other parts of the documentary, point your browser to www.alcantinindia.org. That's www.alcantinindia.org.